Think he shared this with me. Apparently, I'm labeled as the ETH guy on the show, which I don't know why is true. If you guys have listened, I've criticized ETH all the time.
You've been the ETH guy.
You are the ETH guy.
You're the
ETH maxi.
You're the ETH guy.
What do I have to do to change that?
Buy something other than ETH.
No, it's good.
Yeah, yeah, just like lean into it. You're fine.
Brand. Yeah.
All right, fuck it. I'm the ETH guy.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Steady Lads. It's a special episode today. We have Guy from Athena joining us to talk meme coins and shitposting and also, you know, his amazingly growing TVL on Athena and talking about, you know, some of the pieces of that puzzle. As usual, I'm Jordy. I'm the founder of Selene Capital. We have Justin with us, the CEO of Astaria, Taiki, the humble farmer, full-time researcher, and we have Thicky, who is, are you trading these like all-time high breakouts, rejections, Thicky? Are you doing well, or are you, what's going on there?
Doing okay. I didn't expect it to reject so hard off 69K, and then I talked to all these ODs, and they're like, yeah, it never breaks all-time highs on its first try. So like, to a lot of people, this like giant wick 69 was obvious, but like, you know, I got caught in the wave there. But luckily, I have like a decent entry from like 64, not the best, but like, yeah, just sticking it, holding it through.
Yeah, I happened to be awake. I think it was like 4 or 5 a.m. Singapore time when the wick happened. And I happened to, I guess I YOLO'd a little bit. I bought that that dip. It seemed like free money. But I think at this point, we'll get one more attempt at the all-time high. And if it gets rejected again, that'll be a little bit worrying. Because I think now the expectation is the next time is going to go through. Guy, have you been having any time to trade? I know you're like, you're so busy with everything going on, but it feels like even for those of us that are founders and that are doing stuff, you just have to like, you know, put some positions on here and there.
Yeah, less so I'd say like actively. So there's obviously quite a big focus on the trading stuff on the Athena side and just keeping an eye on that. But I think my approach to it has been less sort of active day trading and just having positions that I'm sort of happy holding through the cycle. I think it's something that I learned about my own personality last cycle as well, which is that there's an interesting middle ground, I think, between day trading, which I know I'm not going to outperform just holding, but then there's also holding too long, which I think a lot of people did last cycle. I know that sort of sounds like it's basically just saying like buy the bottom and sell the top, but I think that there is like an interesting middle ground of basically reducing the decisions that you make every day to just have like a few decisions where you act on like key inflection points. So I personally am only sort of like buying when I feel like you're at an extreme towards the downside, and then selling slowly on the way up. So it's not something that I do very actively.
Okay. I mean, I'm just curious, let's get a poll from everybody. Like, what inning are we on? If inning one is, let's just say like March 2020, when, you know, we hit the bottom and we kind of started growing, and then inning nine is 2 years later once Luna collapses and then everything starts falling down. Justin, like, what inning are we on, do you think?
Well, if we're going based on price, I think that's a different answer than time. If we're going based on price, we're in like the sixth inning, I want to say, because if you think about it, like the move from 15 to 69, et cetera, is like a 4x or so. We're not getting a 4x from here on Bitcoin, at least not in my opinion. That would put us at 240K, almost $250,000, which I just don't see as realistic. But if you go on time, I think we're going to have like a long drawn out period of prices being, you know, pretty decent, at least through the end of this year. I think after this year, it gets a little murky just because elections will be over in the US and we could start to see like something like a recession. But I think for this year, we should be in pretty good shape.
Okay. I didn't get a clear number. Sounds like a six, but then the other one was like a four maybe. So
I'd say, yeah, sixth inning, if you're looking at just price, if you're looking at time, you know, we've only been extremely bullish for like 6 months. And I think we've got at least, you know, 6 months, maybe 9 months left of like solid bullish sentiment on the timeline.
How about you, Taiki? Where do you see us right now?
Yeah, I think we're in the fourth or fifth inning, to be honest. I think the bull market started January of 2023. And I think the past couple of months, it's been crazy. I mean, I just started to get texts from my normie friends and they're all asking me if they should sell their Bitcoin. Like, that's literally the question they're asking. Like, not like what they should buy, not, you know, like what altcoins do you like? It's like, okay, like I have my Bitcoin, you know, should I sell? There's a lot of PTSD still in the air, and I think crypto will continue to climb all the worry. But I do think, yeah, I agree with Justin. For the majors, I think we've seen most of our gains. I think in when we get closer to the 7th, 8th, 9th inning of the bull market, like that's when altcoins go absolutely nuts. But I think we're still at least a few months away from there.
Let me just quickly go to Thicky, because he was very bearish to start the year, and I think he's had to adapt and change direction. Like, Thicky, what's your current outlook?
I think I'm more bullish than Justin and Taiki. I think like being 3 or 4. I just think about like how much money there is in the world and like how we've kind of opened up a can of worms for TradFi, and I'm like, wow, 50 billion of inflows. Like, where is Bitcoin going to go from here at 50 billion? And I don't know. Yeah, I'm very bullish. I think it can last longer, like years maybe.
Super cycle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We don't have Sue, but we got Thicky's super cycle. Guys, so, you know, obviously with Athena, you're running a market neutral kind of strategy there. But in a bull market, people don't want to be market neutral, and you have to incentivize them so hard. You got to give them like, you know, hundreds of percents of TVL to, of APY. Do you think that we're, you know, at that point where it's just so hard to get people's attention on a stable product because they're so bullish, or where are we? Are we at the top?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So I think like maybe just addressing like where are we in the market cycle first, and then can jump into the Athena like thoughts. I think a couple of weeks ago, I probably agreed with the sentiment that it was actually a lot earlier than people thought. And then I think the action in the last 2 weeks definitely gave me sort of like January 2021 vibes, and just in terms of what is moving and how quickly. I think the one thing that just gives me like pause for consideration at least is that we haven't really seen like a crypto cycle when rates are above zero. So if you believe like the forward curve, I think we might see actually like a crypto cycle, but then something like really late within the cycle where rates actually give you like a second shot in the arm. So I don't want to like say the word super cycle, but I think that there is like a reasonable case there to say you might get basically a second leg further on in the cycle, or actually just interest rates take you further than you thought you would be able to go. So I think I generally agree with the sentiment of the guys here, which you're definitely not at the beginning, but you actually got quite a bit of room to run. I think the one thing to just keep an eye on is like if JBL basically allows it to run longer than it normally would, and you don't want to sell, I think, too early in that scenario either. I think on Athena, it's been interesting. As you said, it's quite difficult to actually find new capital to come into a stable product. Generally, people are pretty willing to throw their ETH into like a liquid restaking product or whatever it is and get yield on that because they've still got the delta, but it's quite difficult to actually get people to sell into dollars. One thing which I think does help actually with Athena is that obviously generally stablecoin size has been creeping up since October. So like it bottomed out at around $120 billion and sitting at 140 now. So the market is still growing on stablecoins. But actually I think people's risk tolerance increases through the cycle. So as you're making more money elsewhere, you're actually more interested in going finding a higher yield with something like Athena, and you're less like you're caring less about, I guess, the stability and brand that comes with something like USDC. I think the real loser though within that like construct is RWAs, which are kind of like stuck in the middle, which is it's not liquid and a trading instrument like a USDT and to a lesser extent USDC, and it's not like the high yield alternative that you get with Athena. So I think we have seen like flows because obviously some people do have some amount of their portfolio in dollars, even at like an extreme moment in the market like we are now. But I think one thing people also forget is that you have an ability to borrow from DeFi at much, much lower than like the cost of capital within centralized exchanges. So one example here is like you can go into Maker and get a 9-figure loan at like 6.5% in DAI and then throw that into SUSD, which just paid out like 67% this week. So that's just like an insane spread, right? Where even if you don't believe the whole like thesis with Athena around synthetic dollars or whatever it is, you can actually just conceptualize it like an interest rate arbitrage vehicle between DeFi, TradFi, and CeFi.
This is like Taiki's bread and butter, these type of strategies, I think. Taiki, have you been finding these like looping opportunities?
Yeah, I'm actually, you know, because last week I mentioned that I sold like my stone like on Manta Network at a, like 0.96 something. And everyone was like, "Yo, like, what the fuck, Taiki? Like, you're such an idiot." But I just felt like I can get better rates elsewhere. And what I'm doing is I bridged ETH into Polygon and using that as collateral, borrow Matic, and I'm staking it. So if I believe in the Matic staking thesis, then you know the future airdrops are, you know, like I mean, obviously I don't know what the, you know, the size of these airdrops are going to be. But if I think that these airdrops are going to happen, then I can borrow Matic at 3%, stake it for 5%, and then, you know, it's not really a stablecoin arbitrage, but it's somewhat of a similar idea where if Athena can offer higher rates, then technically like the velocity on chain should increase over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to touch on something Guy said in terms of like people get more bullish as the prices go up. And I was talking to a friend today and, you know, they work at Apple and they have a bunch of Apple stock and they have a little bit of Bitcoin and they're about to buy a house. So they need to like liquidate something. And they're just like, last thing they want to sell is their Bitcoin right now. Like they're going to just like dump Apple stock and just make sure that they keep the Bitcoin exposure. So like Guy said, like people just want exposure right now. I think there's a general sentiment that, you know, we're not like the greatest, we're not like the fool at the table, right? Like you're not like the guy, like the fish at the table. And the reason we think that is because we're seeing these ETF flows. So it feels like there's outsiders out there that are later than us or earlier than them. So that kind of like gives people the impression that they should be still holding Delta, even though we're at all-time high valuations.
Yeah, it's crypto is still reflexive because I was looking at Doge a couple months ago at like 8 cents. And I was like, this is so much, like this is pure vaporware. And now it's at 16 cents. And I'm like, wow, like Doge is kind of cheap. It looks kind of cheap. Crypto is those assets, like the higher it goes, the cheaper it looks. And the lower it goes, the more expensive it looks.
Let's talk a little bit about dog coins because it just feels like, you know, crypto is so ridiculous that we just have categories. And one of the categories, dog coins, and once one of them starts, they all kind of start barking together, you know, like they do in real life, where they all join in. So, like, I was looking at, like, all of them being up, like, 50%, 100%, 500%. You know, I got quoted on Bloomberg about dog coins. Apparently, like, this is, like, the normies love to make fun of us and look at the stuff that we're doing. But the volatility has been insane. Justin, any favorite dog coins? I think there's, like, 10 of them that are kind of popular.
I've passed the Dogecoin era and I bought the Joe Boden token on Solana for fun. You want to be early on these things. You don't want to be the guy. You know what I mean? Like you got to buy these things before they're super popular. So I don't have any Dogecoins, but I did buy a small amount of Joe Boden and we'll see if that does well for me. I missed the Trump coins, so maybe the Joe Biden coins will do well for me now.
Oh, interesting. So the Joe Boden is like the
Geo Boden or something.
The Geo Boden is the revenge trade for people who missed Trump.
Yeah, yeah. And who missed the dog coins.
Yeah, I've been looking at dog coins. I can kind of, maybe our audience is interested in a little dog coin breakdown. Thicky, have you been kind of doing a little dog versus dog comparison with your analysts? Are you like long spread? Are there any like spreads of dogs that you're long short?
No, they're just long all. I didn't want to bother with the spreads. I'm not anymore.
Okay, so here's a key question that, you know, it's kind of tying into the Athena thing. When you got your Dogecoin exposure, have you perp longed in paying the funding or did you go into like, you know, Solana chains and trying to find spot to buy? Like, how did you actually express it?
I just paid the funding. Fuck it. I bought some spot and I paid a lot of funding.
This is exactly who is like providing the, you know, insane APYs. It's guys like Thicky paying Dogecoin funding rates.
Delta neutral dog money, I think, is the next one that's out. Yeah.
Did you imagine that? Oh my goodness.
Dog Athena.
And it also like makes it cheaper to long the perp, right? Technically. So it can actually lead to more speculation.
You know, Guy, you are doing a service to the dog coin community if you expand Athena to Shiba and Doge. And what's the biggest one? So we have Bonk, Whiff. There was like number three, number four.
Here are all the top ones by market cap.
Holy shit. Floki's a billion? What the heck?
Yeah, I can't believe we missed Floki. They back in the 2021 bull market around LA, here at UCLA, there was a bus with like a Floki advertisement on it, like a state or a city run bus, and I still missed Floki.
I mean, I'm actually like very interested to look at the 7 day. So Dogecoin is the old grandpa, you know, he can barely get out of bed. Sad dog situation many of us have lived through with dog pets. 22 billion market cap. Hard to be like bullish on this thing multiplying, right? Like last cycle it was like Elon just kind of single-handedly creating that impression, but 20%, pretty weak sauce. We got Shiba. I have to say Shiba is the one that like completely surprised me because it was already at a massive market cap and it just like ripped 132%. We're seeing it at 19 billion. I think it was trading quite a bit higher, like 50% higher. I think it was at like almost 30 billion. That's sort of like when I put my massive short in.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Nikki on this. I saw a tweet that went pretty viral saying, you know, the market's overheated when SHIB starts to get close to flipping Doge, and that's when you exit your dog coins. Have you thought about that, Nikki, at all? Is that like the sign of ultimate froth when the SHIB is going to flip Doge?
I haven't looked at that. I mean,
that's a quote by GCR, by the way. That's a GCR quote, yeah.
SHIB is like cleaner tokenomics. Like Doge is constantly emitting 4% a year because they pay Litecoin miners. Their proof of work just constantly inflating. Whereas SHIB is like, SHIB is a token and Doge is a coin, you know? Like SHIB is like, there's no emissions and they're still building stuff. So I don't know. That's my counter argument for this SHIB Doge flipping. Like I don't see why it can't happen.
Doesn't Doge get like an L1 premium, right? Like it can become the settlement layer for the world, where SHIB, that's just ruled out.
They could. They're actually launching. They might launch like a Polygon L2 Doge chain. Yeah.
Who is like on the other side of who is like on the other side of my short? Like who is the guys like longing, apart from you, Thicky? Like is it college kids? Like is SHIBA like is the community like frat boys? That's what I'm imagining.
I think the marginal buyer right now is probably those people, but like a lot of like CT people have seen, I think the reasoning was like, oh, Bitcoin's about to take all time highs. There's like a binary switch when retail does take all time high, or sorry, when Bitcoin does take all time highs, retail will suddenly FOMO in and they were going to buy dog coins. So like people who identified that trend very early were able to like get like a clean, you know, 2, 3, 4x on a lot of these coins.
I think I've seen a lot of takes on Twitter saying that, oh, like dog coins pumping, it's a sign of fraud. We're near the top, but can't you also argue that, you know, the market's getting smarter over time? You know, we just recognize patterns over time. So, you know, certain subsection like traders just like end up buying dog coins, but that's not really a sign of fraud, right? I mean, I guess it technically is, but I don't really subscribe to the idea that dog coins pumping is near the end of the cycle. I just think that traders are getting smarter and are detecting patterns.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, SHIBA was the one that surprised me. And then when I saw where it was trading like in the fours, I had to like, you know, whack it pretty hard. And that was a great trade for me, I have to say. Let's talk about the siblings. We got the little two Solana siblings. Very close in market cap right now, been flipping each other. So we have Bonk and Whiff. Very different coins. Bonk is sort of like this, like, supported community, you know, it was an airdrop token, which is very different than, you know, a DEX, like, free token where you can get in early. You know, Whiff is just a funny name and less supported, but is this the left curve versus the right curve between the two siblings?
I think they're both left curve.
I think Jody possibly... I think like one is more institutional. One is a team and team allocation and like vesting. And the other one is just like grassroots per se. So I do think like there are different sort of communities that end up holding these coins.
Yeah. And I think Whiff is more relatable. So like, I mean, I'm a total mid curve, so I haven't like purchased anything, but Justin, if you can share my screen, there was like this on Asteroid. So on Cosmos, you can make an inscription. And the first thing that I thought of was, okay, like if I'm going to mint or if I'm going to inscribe something on Atom, I'm just going to inscribe left curve Taiki. So I feel like the meme is viral to some extent. You know, it's like, oh, like does the dog have a hat? You can apply that to like anything. Like, does the animal have a hat? Does the person have a hat? Does the orange have a hat? Like, you know, and I think it's more funny than like Bonk, you know, like Bonk is like, what, like what, like dog with a bat? It's like, what the hell is that? I don't know. I feel like it's like more unique. But I mean, I guess, you know, after price pumps, the narrative gets stronger. So I have no fucking idea.
Guy, do you have a favorite dog out of the bunch?
Yeah, I think actually one thing is that like when they try to do anything other than being a meme, I think it like ceases to be funny at all. And you kind of move from being undervalued versus Doge to like 100x overvalued versus anything else that is serious. And so I just, on the comments around like Bonk versus Whiff, I look at Whiff and I actually do find it quite funny the first time that I saw it. And I did actually feel compelled that I should own a little bit of it. And I did not feel the same way with Bonk. And as you say, when you've got like Solana VCs who are in there like shilling Bonk, you've got like, we're doing a Telegram trading bot and now we're doing 10 million of revenue. that now the joke is no longer funny anymore, actually, with Punk when you've got like revenue attached to it. And so I think with memes, they really have to be exactly as Whiff is now. It's like totally organic. You got everyone else who's sort of pushing it and pushing the meme. And I also think that like actually the mind share of Whiff relative to its market cap, it does actually feel quite mispriced, if I'm being honest. Like that thing was on like Bloomberg. You had like Arthur shilling that thing like a few weeks in at like 300 mil market cap. And you compare it to like some of the market caps that you're seeing there now, it feels like the mind share is definitely all over Whiff, at least on my timeline, relative to like the market caps that you see on the rest of that page, which I think to me is like the only relative valuation you can think about with these things.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. There's like this insider versus outsider game, right? In meme coins, it's all about fair launch and distribution. And with Bonk, they did a great job of like tying in the Solana community because they gave free coins to like the NFT collections and the developers and, you know, the people like really, really deep into like that space during the bear market. So that kind of brought them together and did really well. But if you're outside of that core, you know, Solana OG status, it's much more something like Whiff, where it's just like, it's funny and they'll just see like where it goes that maybe relates to people. So great point there. And I think looking at distribution of coins ultimately is going to decide their success. Curious about other coins. There's Pepe. You know, when you start getting into Pepe, it has this like strange on-chain history in terms of how it was minted, and maybe like some hackers are met. There's some like shady stuff around its potential creation. It's possible that it gets distributed enough and the original people, even if they were trying to like do something shady, are not holding it anymore and it just becomes distributed. I see Vicky, you're nodding. Are you familiar with the Pepe situation?
I'm not familiar with the lore, but I do think that like when you do the community launch, it's like harder to get high up there because like I think just launching at XYK at like a low val, it disproportionately rewards early buyers, but the ceiling is higher, I think, if it does reach this sort of terminal escape velocity.
Good point. I mean, let's talk a little bit about airdrops because, you know, Bonk was an airdrop ultimately and sort of taking a life of its own. We're about to have an insane airdrop. I saw the W wormhole. Oh my, like, is this like a 2 billion airdrop that's going to happen? I mean, we're looking at the pre-market valuation on things like Avo and Hyperliquid. If this thing launches anywhere near, you know, the sort of like 15 plus billion valuation and they're giving away, you know, over 10% of the token. Justin, you're very active on chain. You must have gotten some wallets. Have you checked?
I've checked. I'm a little disappointed. I only have a few thousand W coins, which is kind of crappy. It's actually interesting. I have a ton of ETH addresses that have used Wormhole, but my Solana address, which I've minimally used, got the largest airdrop. So it is interesting. I think it's going to have like a very nice stimulative effect, mostly to Solana, which is probably bullish Solana meme coins, like to that point. But I think we're just sort of like starting this season. I think the Eigenlayer one is going to be incredible as well. I think Coinbase's base chain is going to do an airdrop that's going to be very lucrative as well.
Wow. You think there's going to be a base token?
Almost certainly, yeah. Their chief legal counsel said, you know, they weren't ruling it out. Jesse has talked a lot about sort of like spitting base out from Coinbase. He said that publicly. And I think it's just a requirement at this point. And it's good for everybody, right? The company will get some tokens and make a ton of money. The community makes a ton of money. The founding team makes a ton of money. And it helps you compete. So it seems like a win-win. The incentives are lined up. And, you know, my thesis has been for a long time that everyone's going to have a token.
You know, there's no free lunch in reality. So I'm curious, like, if what you're saying happens, theoretically, the price of the stock should go down, right? You're kind of like taking an asset out, removing it and creating like a value somewhere else.
You would think, but do you think Wall Street is valuing base at all, right? My hunch would probably be no. Like everything I see from all analysts is like they're just looking at fees paid and like fees, you know, and just comparing how their fees are doing from swaps, which Coinbase has publicly stated is not the future of their business, but it seems to me that's all Wall Street really cares about right now.
What is base sequencer revenue? The sequencer revenue is actually like meaningful, right? Oh, actually, no. It's only $7 million for Q3. It's probably not that much.
They can get quite close to like nine figures, though, I think, if you are really seeing like a ton of activity. I think there's actually a really interesting arbitrage here for Coinbase, which is Coinbase stock is valued on EBITDA, cash flows, all of the normal metrics, and you can actually be the sequencer there and collect the cash flows. But if you drop a token, doesn't matter if you're like doing any value accrual or anything like that to CT, they're going to bid that up for like a $5 billion, $10 billion valuation. So actually, I think like pick up value on both sides, which is like Wall Street will actually value the sequencing fees when it shows up in your P&L at like a reasonable size, and then CT will just bid your bid based on some ridiculous valuation. So
100% right. And then don't pass back any of the sequencer revenue to the token. Just keep it in the company, but count the token on your balance sheet for the company, so it pushes up the equity even more. The best of both worlds.
Yeah, my thesis has been for a while that like the equity and token will both be monetized until it's no longer feasible, and I think Uniswap is the best example of that.
Taiki, how about you? Is Wormhole being generous and kind to you?
Yeah, so I haven't checked all my wallets because I've been busy, but on my EVM wallets, I only got a few thousand. I do need to check my Terra Station wallets. I don't know where my seed phrase is. I've been looking for it. But I remember frantically bridging UST out of Terra to like Avalanche to like just sell. So I've done that many times. So I feel like I should be able to get like a decent amount of W tokens that way. And also I bridged to Algorand and stuff. So I think I'll get a decent amount.
Yeah, I saw that there's like Algorand wallets, Terra wallets. There's like all these things that, you know, we were using many years ago. So we'll see.
I made no money on Algorand, but maybe the Wormhole airdrop. And this is so good for everyone because like if I get this airdrop, another thing I was thinking about is like whenever you get an airdrop, it just feels like house money, like free money. So I think people are more willing to just degen with it and like just reinvest that into, you know, like whatever it is that's hot right now. So I think it can also add to like the momentum of like, I guess, the on-chain economy.
It does. And it generates like a crazy situation during the launch. I think Thicky trades launches very closely. And, you know, Thicky, this is going to be probably one of the more interesting launches because you have on the one side, just a very strong project, right? It's very, very promising and it's going to be valued very highly. And then you're going to have, you know, billions of dollars potentially of airdrops of people just, you know, some people will want to be long-term holders. Some people will want to cash out. And that kind of generate like these interesting, you know, wicks at the beginning and people too much selling pressure that it recovers. Have you been scoping this out? Do you expect the usual sort of sell-off and recovery, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable. It's just like, I think it's interesting to think about like where the money will come from to buy these tokens, and then the sellers that sell, where that money will go, where they rotate to. Those are the two main, I guess, ideas I look for every airdrop.
Yeah, and if you expect the airdrop meta to continue, it's also bullish ETH because if you have to claim and sell these tokens on mainnet, it helps ETH become more deflationary in a way. So it's like kind of this continuous loop of, you know, like on-chain transactions. Oh, you know, the on-chain people make money. They buy more stuff on-chain.
Yeah. This is the usual meme of the elephant with the trunk going down below. but staying on the topic of the Wormhole airdrop, there's two more interesting things that I thought are kind of unique that they did. Number one, the NFT associations that they've done. They've obviously airdropped to some NFT collections, including Mad Lads. So like, hello to all the lads out there, fellow lads. The reality is, you know, when you get it, usually gets dumped. One very cool thing they've done, this, I don't know if you guys caught this, they will be streaming like 80%. So you get like 20% at the beginning and then they'll be streaming the rest, I think over like a year, 2 years or something. So it actually gives NFTs cash flow, which is like insane. But I think we're finally there. This is the first time that I actually feel that my thesis of like, you know, NFTs becoming this like magnet for community and like brand, you know, awareness and people throwing money at it through creating this like cash flow over time where it like it actually has like a DCF at this point. It was just crazy.
Can I ask you guys on that note, like, is it, you know, Taiki mentioned that we think of airdrops as free money sometimes when we get it psychologically. I think teams are starting to think that too. I think Fubar's tweet like really highlights that well here. He said modern airdrops be like used product, you get one token. Restake 20 cents of scam Celestia fork, 10 tokens, and then join the Discord channel for a competitor between 2 and 3 a.m. UTC, and then like to tweet with an emoji and got 1,000 tokens. And I'm curious, like, why are teams giving free money like free pseudo equity out to people that have nothing to do with the project and will not benefit the project in like a material way? Is it just to vibe with the community, or what's going on here? Why are people airdropping to NFT communities?
Yeah, so it's not just NFT communities. So the very interesting thing, which is the second point I was getting to that you brought up, is Monad. Monad has gotten an airdrop, and people might say, Monad's not even live. Like, there's no wallets. Like, how is Monad getting an airdrop? And this is an off-chain airdrop. So they are, I guess, giving tokens to the Discord community of Monad just to kind of pre-associate and pre-generate the vibes. And this was, you know, something a little bit controversial, but I think makes sense. Curious to get thoughts from you guys. Who has a strong opinion on off-chain airdrop participation?
I think it's very good. And I think, like, you actually want to decentralize your token amongst people that are not going to sell it, but like potentially join your community. You're kind of like bribing, like seeding a community startup. So, if a community is strong, like Monads or, Mad Labs, I think it's very smart to do.
Well, look, I mean, the reality is Justin has a great point. Why is this happening? Like, it's just a very strange situation. And I have thought about this extensively. Like, my explanation is that the value of attention is so high because there's like new entrants coming in. And if the existing like core group are talking about, let's say like Monad, even if they're just like 1,000 people, when like 1 million people come in, they'll be like asking their cousin or the guy that they know that is like really deep, and they'll be getting information from them. So if you give that guy, $10,000 and he like then shields it to like the 100 cousins that he has, you're kind of like buying a lot of customers for cheaper than it looks like. And Taiki, you're probably the perfect example where like whenever you get an airdrop, you're like, this is the future. And when you don't get it, you're like, this is going to zero, scam.
I call this activist airdrop farming, where it's like, I don't accept like paid shills, right? So like, I will never like accept money to like shill. But the only way to get my stamp of approval is to airdrop to, to me. So I feel like that's also like this element. It's like free marketing. I guess there's also concerns around, I guess, regulation. Maybe it's more ethical and it's more regulatory compliant to airdrop 10% of the supply versus just like, like a 2% float or something. I feel like, and also the team has the incentive to just start their vesting and cliff schedules. So I just think that this year is going to be just every other week, like a decent airdrop. And then everyone on Twitter is going to be bull posting. And then it's going to be a vibe. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's a vibe. And like what it is closest analogy to, I think, is, the casino is active right now. Binance, like all these casinos, they're friggin' active. And if you get to be the coin of the week or the coin of the month, because everybody, you gave everybody a little bit, now everybody's looking at the chart because they have to sell in Dubai, pre-market, can I pre-hedge? Like, W has done an amazing job. They got, like we talked about, the first one letter ticker. They're giving $2 billion to like infinite people.
Wait, threshold. Threshold's just T.
Yes, that's true.
There's another Maybe it's one. The second one letter.
Second.
Ticker.
It's the first blue chip.
Threshold just caught it straight.
We have a founder of a project that, will presumably be having to make decisions around this kind of thing.
Do ETH. ETH.
ETH.
No.
ETH2. ETH2.
I think the tipper of Athena should be G. That's how Guy goes by, just G. What do you think, Guy?
I think that would be extremely narcissistic to do that.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I do actually have a question for you, which is whether you think like Athena is a full ticker. I know some people sometimes do that, or just taking the last three letters at Enna makes more sense. Because I don't think you see it that often where it's like a longer one. And it seems to split people quite a bit.
I think neither of those are good names, to be honest, for a token.
Neither.
Yeah. You need something a little more memeable, something more exciting, like yield or something like that.
The best ticker is like three letters, I think. That's usually like the best. Three or four. It's like Bitcoin, ETH, Sol, TIA.
What if you just did dollar sign?
Emoji.
Oh my god.
Oh, yeah, what do you do?
I have a story about this. When we were doing something else at Astaria, we were going to launch tokens that weren't our governance token, and we were going to put the asterisk symbol in a token. And there's actually nothing preventing you from doing that. Like, you could just do dollar sign for your token ticker, which I think would be so cool and unique.
You're never getting sex listed, but that would be cool.
And also, wait, because I know like some teams prefer to have their ticker start with an A, so it shows up at the top of like centralized exchanges. If you use like an asterisk, like does that put you at the top or like the Pico bottom? Like
we'd have to test it out on Uniswap.
the ticker philosophy is always a hilarious conversation. I saw one listed on Bybit called 10 million AI Doge.
It was like the funniest thing. That's doing really well, actually.
Yeah. I do think it's generally underrated, though, how much of an impact this can have. Like, I mean, the Ondo condo thing, I think, was like brilliant. And you see that everywhere.
Yeah, Ondo just put in all time highs while we were on this call. That's why I've been a little distracted. It's, I think, 61 cents.
Yeah, I think that meme alone was actually worth a few billion of the FTV. That's how good it was. So you underrate how powerful these things can be.
Yeah, you know, Ondo Condo, you had APT Apartment, you had Seiyan, you know, Dragon Ball. I think that generated like a nice $4 billion of market cap for Sei. So absolutely, I think, G, you're going to have to...
Do you guys want to know the story behind the word Ondo?
Go ahead.
It means wave in Esperanto. Esperanto was like an international language that someone was trying to start and found. So it translates to wave. Fun story. Because the founder's from Hawaii and the logo is kind of like a wave.
Interesting. That's pretty cool. So yeah, guy. Yeah, I think something like that. Does Arthur have any ideas?
Something like that.
Esperanto, maybe. Esperanto. What's Esperanto for a dollar?
Well, that's actually where that's where the Anna comes from. So Greek for one is Anna. So it was like ETH and then one together. But it hasn't got the same ring as the condo thing going on, so we'll give another think about that.
It sounds a little bit like Athena as well. Was that sort of part of the name play?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so like the Athena is obviously like the Greek goddess, I think, of war. And there's quite a few firms out there who actually use Athena, which I think is actually quite a clean name. So yeah, it was just a play on like ETH, and then the Enna was Greek for being one. I thought like tied it together.
Because if it was Athena, then you can make the ticker all-time highs, right? ATH. That would be super bullish.
Ooh, that's actually good.
Ooh.
Yeah, but also I think like if you move away from having just ETH within USD, which is obviously possible and like on the roadmap, you might not want to have like ETH at the front of your name as well. So that's actually a very good call.
All-time high. Athena, I love it. Okay, that's a great idea. Cool, but apart from ticker names, so in terms of what you guys are doing, you have this shard thing and people call points miles, or what is Pendle calling them? I don't know, there's different names for them out there. I think shards is one of the cooler ones. How do you think about shards? Are there going to be like, you know, one-to-one with airdrops, or what's your strategy?
Yeah, I think what's interesting about it now is you've obviously got like markets that are like forming around it. So I think it's quite interesting that like with crypto, even when you try to not put liquidity around something, people still find a way to actually trade it and form markets around it. So the stuff that's going on with Whales Market, I think, is quite interesting. They actually listed, today they listed SUSD as like a collateral asset to actually trade. So you can put down SUSD and yield while you're actually trading the points. And then I think the stuff with Pendle is actually brilliant. And it's actually, people look at it and they think that it's just a bit of a points casino at the moment. I think on the surface, that can be like the first way that you view it. But I actually think what they're doing like beneath the surface is actually super interesting. And it's like the beginning of like actual fixed income on DeFi for the first time. Yeah, so all that's to say, like, I think it's quite interesting now that you can see speculative like markets like forming around these things before you have any idea around like FTVs, percentage of token supply. It really is at like the very bottom of the level of degeneracy that you can find within this market, because you're
like, let's say, like, I'm just saying, say you're a founder and you haven't decided yet, like, you know, exactly how many points there's going to be. Like, even you, who's the guy deciding, you don't know ultimately, like, how many points, what's going to be the value. And then you got some clowns like buying and selling the points and like deciding like a fair value. And you're like, I can just issue 10 times as many points. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, it's just full degeneracy, right?
It is quite crazy, because the number, it's like, it's multivariate, right? Where you've got like duration, you've got percentage of supply, and you've got FTV. All of these things can move a lot. Like, even the percentage of supply can move quite a bit. But what is interesting about that is when you've got like three wide variables that can be very different, is that they can be quite mispriced, actually. So like on this Pendle stuff, you saw some pretty interesting price action around like the Athena one, where it was trading at like a 40% implied yield, and then one guy put out a thread one day and it traded up to like 110% in a single day. And so when you're owning that actual leverage on YT, that was actually a lot of money that people made doing that. So it can be like pretty wildly mispriced because of the fact that these variables can move quite a bit. And I think a lot of people who are playing in there aren't like running the maths the whole time.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw like another one that was Frentech points that got like massively re-rated. They just sort of made an announcement saying that I guess like everything would get distributed to points. And suddenly, I guess, Frentech is relevant again. I mean, it seemed very irrelevant for a while. Taiki, have you been following the points? Have you been looking at it?
Yeah. I think they're going to do a 100% community airdrop. And they're going to introduce liquidity mining whenever the token does go live sometime this month, I believe. The way I played it is like, okay, like there's probably going to be, even if Frentech dies 12 months from now, they're going to at least try to pump it again one last time. So I think it's worth buying like Ansem's keys. So I just bought Ansem's keys and it's like, it's up like 80%.
Is anyone like, is he like still posting there? Is anyone still around?
Not yet. Not yet.
No, he's posting in there. He's posting. I forgot what he said. Honestly, he's just like bull posting everywhere.
I should go post to mine. I'll get my keys popped. I can get some ETH put into Athena.
There we go.
Wait, we need to have a lawyer on this call one day because like points definitely seem like a security to me.
Wasi lawyer. Let's go.
We need to get a lawyer on here. Like, I feel like some protocols is going to get hit hard on this.
I think we're past that point, honestly.
That's why we went with shots, though, because I agree with you on points, but shards are completely different.
All right. So before we go to Pasta of the Week, I do want to take like 5 minutes. And we have Guy on. We talked a little bit about Athena last time. We had questions from the audience in terms of, you know, how sustainable is this? Is this, there's different thoughts about this. You know, let's kind of go through some of the greatest hits. Guy, like, what do you think?
Yep. Happy to do it.
Yeah, so I guess like number one is the sort of, you know, Terra comparison. You know, you see like really high yields and people start wondering when things are going to blow up. So how do you address that?
Yeah, I think the Terra comparisons are probably like the weakest things we saw like on CT on the first week when it came out. It was kind of like, I actually understand why there's like initial skepticism and pushback. And I actually think that that's quite healthy after what we saw last cycle, which is I actually quite want people to actually question things when they see it come out. I think it was slightly frustrating though, because like an immediate comparison to Terra, when you just look at the mechanism and like the collateral and all those kind of things, if you spend 5 minutes on it and you try to understand it, you'd see that it's very different. I think the one key thing to just point out here, well, actually two. So one is obviously Terra was backed by nothing except for like the belief in like future value of Luna and then market makers who are acting as like a central bank behind it, like on the margin. While here you've actually got like collateral, which is like ETH, BTC, whatever it is, and then a corresponding hedge on the other side. So it is fully collateralized, which Luna obviously was not. And then I think the other key difference is just think about the interest rate, which is one of the big mistakes I think they made, like among many, was actually just fixing the anchor rate at 20%, like when you're coming to the tail end of the bull market. So in the midway through the bull, like everyone thought that 20% was weak actually, and like anchor wasn't getting much traction. But then when like market rates fell down to 10% at the back end of the bull, that's actually when you saw anchor tick up quite a bit. The key difference here is that like the interest rate attached to Athena is purely exogenous to like our system. So it's a purely market set interest rate where if there's demand for leverage via perps and like the staking, it's high. And when there's not, it's low. And we adjust to that. So I think that's a key piece that's different here, which is you can really think of like the supply of USD as just responding to market set interest rates. And if the interest rate on unlevered cash and carries at 60%, that's the market saying that USD is too small and it needs to grow. And if it's too low, it's the opposite. So I think that's a key difference.
Yeah, I agree. It is kind of like a weak comparison. I was obviously like very vocal during the Terra days. And, you know, this to me is just, if people ask, where's the yield come from? It comes from Thicky buying dog coins. Like it's the same thing where people are just longing without looking at the funding rate. You know, people talk about this bonk guy. Yeah, like, you know, cool trade. Like you bought low and like you're still holding, you're going to hold it forever. I think the estimate I saw was like near $1 million. He's already paid in funding. So like if he just keeps holding, even if the thing like doesn't go down, you know, there's a draining happening by people like Athena that are kind of providing that spot basis. So that's the source of the funding. And I think the stronger maybe criticisms around like centralized exchanges, right? So we've seen a lot of bad stuff happen with centralized exchanges in the past, not just FTX. You guys have already gotten a roster of, I think, is it four? Or five? How many centralized exchanges?
We're executing on 5, and we've got like 7 who are investors. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, are you like doing due diligence in all these exchanges? Like, what if like one of them, you know, blows up? It's not.
Yeah, 100%. So this was like a very key piece of the infrastructure that we put in place with Athena. So Arthur's idea actually didn't include what we'd done on the custody side, and this is a bit where I actually disagreed with him. So I was not happy taking users' assets and just throwing them on the centralized exchange. What we're doing is basically taking them and putting them in institutional grade custodians. So you can basically hold your assets there and then mirror them onto centralized exchanges, which obviously helps to reduce the credit risk to those venues on the other side. You haven't brought the credit risk down to zero, but if something does happen with one of the exchanges, you always have the collateral to get back to the users on the other side.
I think you managed to do that. Aren't the exchanges like, you know, always wanting people to be direct deposit into their wallets? Like, did you have to like get Arthur into a room with them and sort of like godfather them, or how did you get that done?
Some of them were easier than others. I think that it's not just us, by the way, who's trying to do this. Like, after FTX, like, some of the largest trading funds in the space refused to actually leave their collateral in some of these venues at certain sizes. And so it was kind of like a team effort between us and like other investors who are like large traders and different funds who have started to demand this since FTX. And ultimately, right, like, these exchanges, we are their customer. And if you are bringing volume and size and you have a request, it's like any other relationship where they just want to do right by their customers. But yeah, I think it's like a natural process that the crypto space is going to go through. And actually, I think it's a really healthy like development and market structure where having custody, execution, and settlement like put together in the same black box, I do not think is actually the correct market structure. And that's something that TradFi actually does better than crypto. And I hope that that's actually where the industry sort of evolves and Athena can play like some small part in that. So that's how we think about the custody piece and the exchange risk. And I think one other piece to just point out here is that people have been quite critical that it's not like sitting in a smart contract and like obviously you've got this dependence on custodians. I saw some interesting data that came out of like Into the Block, which is actually just looking at what's the probability of default of leaving your assets within a smart contract on DeFi. And 7% of the time when you put your money into a smart contract, you actually get zeroed on the other side, which is an insanely high number. And so if you just ask, like, would you rather leave your money in like an institutional grade custodian, a smart contract, or a SEX? Like, the data just says that it's like unequivocally safer to have it in a custodian. And so I know it doesn't like align with the ethos and stuff of a lot of stuff on chain, but we thought it was an appropriate trade-off that we could to access liquidity.
Yeah, you know, I think like this cycle, what we're seeing is things like Blast and Athena are, you know, trying to provide a better user experience, or, you know, just do something without adhering to the pure decentralization on-chain ethos. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to explore that space. I've always been a little bit into the Web 2.5 use cases. Sometimes if you can significantly increase the product and the user experience, then, you know, there's some trade-offs that can get decided upon. Last question. So Arthur Hayes obviously, you know, came up with some of the idea of what you're working on, and he's like a very strong investor in your project. When you deal with these exchanges, there's like the goddaddy, right? Like, he came up with the whole perpetual thing for BitMEX back in the day. Like, at what point do you like bring him in the room when you're trying to like negotiate something? You're like, oh, I'm getting a call. Oh, it's my buddy Arthur. Like, do you guys mind if he joins us? Like, when do you do that? When do you pull that card?
Unfortunately, I can't pull that card barely ever. He's always sitting, he's always skiing, so he's never around to actually jump in the rooms like that. But I think he's, just to get to your comment, like, more seriously, I do think it's quite interesting, like, between the different centralized exchanges, there's obviously like healthy competition between them around obviously competitors that you dislike and you want to sort of beat. But actually with Arthur, there seems to be this like overwhelming sense of respect because he ultimately created the product that made all of these guys billionaires. So I think it is quite interesting that like while they don't like each other, they all seem to have this underlying respect for Arthur. And I think we're obviously like have good healthy relationships with all of them that we're working with. I think they're all investors, so they sort of believed in what we're doing, like independent of his involvement. And so he hasn't actually been that involved in terms of getting things over the line to get what we need for the product.
I was just gonna say I was a little annoyed because like I've been putting on this long like Steve or me short ETH perp trade for like a year, and it's very good yield. And then just this past week I was like, because I had that trade on Delta Neutral that I want Bitcoin perps, and usually the ETH funding is always higher than Bitcoin, so I'm making money and I'm getting a free long basically. But like the past 2 weeks, like I've been losing money, I was like, well, what is going on? And then I finally looked at the Athena TV. I'm like, 830 million only in ETH. And I'm like, dude, these guys took my trade.
Exactly what you're describing there. This is the first week that we've actually seen ourselves sort of like impact BTC versus ETH funding. And actually, the venues that we're not on, there's now a discrepancy between like Athena venues and non-Athena venues. So yeah, it is starting to have like a marginal impact on the market, but we can go push down BTC fee next month if you want.
Well, I'm moving it over to Bitcoin now, but I'm guessing in a month's time, and I'll have to move it back into the
Then you go to Solana, and then...
Yeah, and then they'll keep chasing me wherever I go.
Dog coins. Wow. Just keep on the dog coin.
At the end, I'll just be stuck in these dog coins. Yeah, exactly.
There's still plenty of stuff that's like 15 bips a window. Like I was looking today, I had to move my XLR position from perps to spot. I put it on spot instead because like it was like 16 bips a window. I mean, I want to hold this thing, but I'm not paying that on perps. So cool, guys. Let's move to our last segment. Let's do our post of the week. Maybe Justin, you can take it from here.
Sure. Am I allowed? Am I allowed two entries again? I have one that I have to bring up just because there's a story here. So Evan, super fan of the show, big fan of me personally. He's in a couple group chats, and he tweeted out, "I'm going to tell my kids this was Jim Cramer." And unfortunately, it's a picture of Taiki getting carted out from that Spider-Man scene because Taiki unfortunately marked the bottom allegedly in Kanto. And I just found out before we started this call that Thicky and Jordy both longed Kanto when Taiki sold, which I think is distasteful and against the spirit of the Steady Lad show.
Yeah, I might leave this podcast now, actually.
I'm offended. You need to give half of your profits to Taiki. This is ridiculous. I would never counter trade any of you guys.
I didn't even know. I just bought it because like the chart looks so bad. And I was like, Taiki likes this coin. It must be a good coin. It's only after I learned that Taiki sold.
Taiki. You know, you gave us a good liquidation entry point, so much appreciated. Next time I'm in New York, I'll take you to a nice Greek dinner once again. It'll be on me. Yeah.
And but that's not my entry, though, although I think that's hilarious. It's a little niche, but shout out to Clayton for making that and Evan for tweeting it. My real pasta is Polar retweeting David Hoffman. David Hoffman said ETH is AI money, and Polar was like, I mean, it's not. It literally has nothing to do with AI. Why do we do this to ourselves? And we can debate. You know, I think there are some use cases for AI here, but I thought this was absolutely hilarious. Like, we are certainly just following into this new narrative here. We were, I don't know, when is Athena going to be AI money? That's what we're wondering.
Whenever it's pumping.
Let's do it. Hell yeah.
I mean, the AI are going to be like making decisions around like, you know, which stable coins and which assets and you know, which things to put money into. And if Athena is going to be the one with the big yield and the good risk reward, it could be AI money, guy. That's maybe like your next tagline for when you go next stage.
We'll roll with that.
Taiki, what do you have?
Yeah, so Justin, if you can pull mine up. Yeah, it's from Mr. Cunty Cakes, JMO. We had him on the pod. And I guess it's... No, he's a study sailor, literally 100 IQ, doesn't know how to DCA, never used a single smart contract, doesn't have MetaMask, claimed zero airdrops, not participating in any points programs, does a line and it hits the green button, and he's more successful than anybody else in the industry. So, you know, I feel like this kind of goes back to the idea of if you just stay in crypto long enough and you don't get liquidated, then like the market will bail you out. And I think in our day-to-day, we try so much to like, you know, like trade, farm, whatever. But most of the times, we're like just better off holding.
What the heck is that, Jordy?
There's only one chair, man.
You need one chair.
It's a single chair. It's my favorite person.
People do say crypto is so hard, but it really, pretty much everyone that hasn't sold has been bailed out officially now, which is insane to think about. Everyone has been bailed out. If you just stick with it, you're going to be okay.
Kamikaze is going to come after you again, Justin. He's going to come after you again.
Is that a good transition to your pasta? Is that part of your pasta?
That's not my pasta. That's not.
Okay. We should share that eventually, though.
What do you got, Dicky?
Let me pull it up. I sound like some guy sent me a YouTube short yesterday night.
The co-founder of 3 Heroes Capital, a now-defunct cryptocurrency hedge fund, was arrested this evening at Changi Airport, Singapore. The co-founder of the $1 billion, now bankrupt company, was detained after trying to leave the country and has been sentenced to 4 months in prison for a failure to cooperate with liquidators who are investigating a virtually open. Authorities are currently searching for Kyle Gerkes, the other.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. You know, last episode I was saying like, you know, we have Thicky with us and it was Suzu and I guess somebody got confused, Thicky. I don't know. They put your face on there.
That smirk, though, it's just like you really want to punch it.
I used to think people, like, I guess it's like a common, you know, most people just think I look like them. It's interesting.
But yeah,
I think it seemed like a genuine mistake by this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he literally
genuinely thought I was him.
Oh man,
Thicky, can we pull up this little piece of hate mail we got? And I didn't get support from any of you guys, so but Thicky shared this with me. Apparently, I'm labeled as the ETH guy on the show, which I don't know why is true. If you guys have listened, I've criticized ETH all the time.
Even the ETH guy.
You are the ETH guy.
You're the ETH maxi. You're the ETH guy.
What do I have to do to change that?
It's
buy something completely other than ETH.
No, it's good.
Yeah, it's just like lean into it. You're fine.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, fuck it. I'm the ETH guy. In any case, this guy's accusing me of being so delusional that it would be like betting against a monkey to bet against me that I think the approval is going to happen. And he said he like, you know, delivered all this fundamental analysis and my only response is, do you want to bet on it? But this guy gave no argument of why the SEC will not approve ETH. And in fact, this guy's Twitter handle is Kamikaze ETH. So I don't know what this guy is doing. He's supposed to be an ETH guy too, but you know, there's a
two. he's accepting his role. It's like, yeah, I'm an ETH guy. He's supposed to be an ETH guy too.
But one thing I will say is, like, after you know having this tweet, I was like, damn. You know, I was about to tweet back, like, I promise to take this back as long as you don't stab me at ETH Denver. Fortunately, no one attacked me. I was good. I did meet a lot of Steady Lads fans though. So if I met you, thanks so much for watching, and it was really a pleasure.
Guy, do you have a pasta?
I scrambled to find one a few minutes ago. I think it's probably not just this, but Vance has been doing this, I think, on a weekly basis for the last few months, which is basically just dunking on Jason Calacanis, whether he's buying like T-bills or some of the shitty Series A's he's been getting into. So I don't think this one's not particularly funny. I just think it's hilarious that every time crypto goes up, we can dunk on Jason. And I think I was looking at his cope on his feed as well, and that's just been entertaining to watch while everything's been going on.
And Guy, are you running the official Athena Twitter account? I see you guys sort of tweeted at him here.
That was inspired by Vance straight afterwards, yeah.
Jason Calacanis still stuck in T-bills and C-deals of insolvent. Okay. Strong pasta for a newcomer. That's definitely like one of the strongest newcomer pastas we've seen. Let's close out. I have one to share. I've been in the Puff announcements channel for Puff. You know, we have this has been Puff's launch week, and you have to use meth. You have to use meth to buy Puff. And it looks like there was an unhappy customer called fuck XRP, and Mr. Fuck XRP seems to have a lot of complaints. So he says, "Hey, could someone please point me in the right direction to get ride of this meth? All I get is meth drugs in my searches for a way to sell meth. I can't seem to swap or sell on any DEX. I just want to get rid of this crap."
This is hilarious.
I believe this is real. Someone is trying to sell his meth and is Google searching, how do I sell meth? Not getting satisfactory results. So, you know, Hopefully, somebody in the comments can direct him in the right place to sell his meth.
Maybe Guy can figure out who the winner is this week.
They were actually quite good. Thicky's one did make me laugh the most, though. I think
let's go.
His cheating slide with video, I think. But yeah.
Were the clips of you from Steady Lads, Thicky?
No, that's from another interview I did like last year.
Yeah, well, I think it's well deserved. I was in stitches on that one, although it was indeed a very strong pasta week from everybody. Good job, guys. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Thanks everyone for joining. Thank you, Guy, for hopping on and chatting dog coins and everything else with us.
No, I appreciate having one.
And yeah, catch everybody next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Lay off the yield for me, please. Leave some for the rest of us.
Withdraw, everyone, withdraw.